It's Friday, May 1st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. It's been a crazy week here. Lots to talk about, lots to share, lots of great tech. Yes, and you know what it is. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, I want to welcome all of our podcast audience to the show. Of course, all of you have downloaded the show at some point in the last couple of days. And of course, I want to welcome those of you that are live watching on Ustream as well. Regardless, all of you, make sure you stay subscribed. You can do that by going over to geeknewscentral.com and clicking on that little RSS button to capture the RSS feed. Or you can, of course, subscribe via iTunes or Zune Marketplace. You'll find links on the Geek News Central website as well. Make sure you check out all of our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. That'll get you the list of the 473 shows that have been recorded. And please, you don't have to go all the way back to show number one because it's not on the website. But you can actually pick up the show at, I think, like show number two. But I don't think you want to go back that far. But, of course, I want to welcome all of our Ohana to the podcast. Welcome to Geek News Central. And thanks for being part of the family here. Those of you who are new to the show, hey, thanks for coming and hanging out with me here. We've got about an hour 15 of content tonight. So strap in. Got a great show for you, great tech show. But I got some things to go through first. But more importantly, before you go anywhere else, sign up for that newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. This is each and every Tuesday and Friday when the podcast comes out. You'll get the show notes so that you know what we've covered in the podcast so you can listen in with interest on topics that may interest you. All right, well, it's been an interesting week. And because Shoko is still in Japan, so I am doing Mr. Dad thing here and Mr. Mom at the same time. And it's been interesting, and I have to, I guess, be humbled a little bit because I don't know how she does everything she does, because I know that I'm having a hard time keeping up with just what she normally does. She has some sort of a system worked out because it's been a challenge this week. It's been fun. We've been doing okay. We're not starving. And with her being in Japan with I don't even know what I would do if my 5-year-old was here, because he requires much, much more attention than the 12 and 11-year-old does. I just basically have to check their homework, make sure they do their chores, you know, give them a little free time. You know, that's, you know, it's easy. And generally they're, you know, self-start them in the morning, get them going. With the 5-year-old, he requires a lot of hands-on still, obviously. And if he was here, it'd be a much different story. But every day this week, I run the kids to school. I bring them home. Normally we share that duty. I take them in the morning and she gets them in the afternoon, which allows me to continue to work and stay focused. So I have to blast out of here really relatively early to go pick them up. And really, it kind of burns a couple of hours, and it really drives me crazy to go get them. Now, the school that they go to is not available via the regular school bus system. We take them to a different area to go to school because we don't want them necessarily in the schools in our neighborhood. It's not that they're bad, but we've worked real hard to get them in better public schools. And it's been a challenge doing that. And the traffic every day this week has been, for a simple word, murder. Traffic jams, 55-gallon drums of fuel oil spilled, highways shut down, accidents, cars rolled over. I don't think I've had less than like 2 hours sitting in traffic a single day this week in the afternoons. And it's, take my blood pressure, please. But I've been in meetings all week. It's been very, very, I've gotten hardly nothing accomplished here. I mean, nothing accomplished on the home front as far as office stuff. I'm way behind on paperwork. I told Anna tonight, sitting at dinner table, I says, you know, this weekend, Dad's going to be on the computer a lot. And she goes, great. We can do what we want to do, Dad. You can just, you know, go ahead. It's okay. Because they know if I'm in here working, then they can watch TV, play video games. And I'm not, you know, I get kind of distracted. It's going to be well. But it's been fun. It really has. So one more week by myself, two more shows while she's gone. And then we'll be kind of back to normal a little bit, I would think. Hey, since it is the 1st of May, I do want to, of course, take a few extra moments and thank all the sponsors here at Geek News Central. They allow me to do what I do. They help me keep the lights on. They really are an essential part of this show and really keep me fed. So I want to thank, of course, GoDaddy and GoToMeeting being longtime sponsors here. Of course, been a continuous sponsor since 2005. And advertisers don't stay advertisers for that length of period unless those of you that are listening to this show are using the services, trying the trials. That really keeps them renewed, keeps them engaged, keeps them wanting to keep me fed. For a better word. So big thanks, of course, to the sponsors here at Geek News Central. And with that, you know, if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, when you get over to GoDaddy.com, you know, when you're getting that checkout counter after picking up one of those great products, don't forget me. At the checkout counter, you can use my promo codes, TODD, that'll save you 10%. ComSale will save you some money on .com names. Geek5 will save you 15% off of orders $20 or more. And if you're looking for a shared hosting account, this is the one you really need to share with everyone you know. This one will save you big, big money. Todd20, T-O-D-D-2-0, will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Of course, thanks to GoDaddy here for being a longtime sponsor and the original sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. Now, one thing I have been able to do this week is I told you I've been in a lot of meetings. A lot of those meetings have been with people in the lower 48. I've had some meetings with people in Asia this week, some meetings with people in the UK. And I'm using GoToMeeting almost on a daily basis these days. And it really pays off. You know, picture this. You're on a phone with a client or colleague trying to explain something. And this happens all the time. Either something visual, a spreadsheet, a PowerPoint. You know, it's frustrating. They can't see what you're talking about. But I've got good news. They can. Just use GoToMeeting to hold an online meeting. It's so easy. You set up a meeting in advance or start one on the fly. Everyone simply logs into GoToMeeting.com. They can see you or their desktop on their or your computer screens, so you can show them what you're talking about, or they can show you what they're talking about, vice versa. You can get a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. And I want to thank, of course, the folks over at GoMeeting again for being a longtime sponsor here. Hey, tonight, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com is where you're going to send all your comments. The voicemail hotline for those of you that would like to call in and rant and rave or have something to say about the show, positive, negative, or in between, +1. For those that's you in the United States, it's essentially simply 151. I was going to give you my mom's number, 1-619-342-7365. Those of you that overseas, +1-619-342-7365. The voicemail hotline is online 24 hours a day, there for you to take advantage of and give me a shout out. And today, no voicemails. We do have emails at the end of the show, but I do have a lot of great content for you tonight. I want to get into that right off the bat here, not keep you guys held up any longer than necessary. Those of you that are watching on Ustream, hey, feel free. If you're on your Twitter account, retweet that the show's going on live right now. Invite your friends in. And I know it's late. It's 8:30 local here in Honolulu. That makes it 11:30 on the West Coast. And, of course, 2:30 in the morning on the East Coast. Some of you that are in the UK or Australia, obviously it's more suitable hours for you. But feel free to join me here on the live portion of the show whenever you get a chance or you're up late on a show night. Okay. Big news today, actually big rumor news today, is that Apple is being projected to introduce some more affordable Macs. Now, we already know that they're not going to be rolling out any type of netbook offering, but we do know that they are considering lowering prices. And this is after, you know, basically seeing some decline in sales, and that they're trying to play off the hype that's been portrayed by Microsoft of them being the machines being overpriced, which, you know, that's just a fact. That's, you know, we know that the machines are overpriced, but hopefully they're going to introduce a discount on these machines that will make it, you know, essentially easier for you guys to afford a Mac if you're looking to pick one. To pick one up. Give you those on Ustream, a little bit of a side view here. This is the side cam. And I'll try to switch that up once in a while so you just always have to look straight at my ugly mug. You can, at this point, look at the big schnauzer there on my nose. Okay, information on Engadget. Hey, you know, doomsday alert. This is how they have it listed on their website. There's a think tank that says that the internet is going to become an unreliable in 2012. They say that at the pace that you and I are using the internet by downloading video, upstreaming videos like this onto, you know, onto Ustream or other services, consuming podcasts as all of you do. I know many of you listen to a lot of different shows. That we are going to crush the existing infrastructure out there. Now, as I read this. Actually, as I read the actual article, I got to thinking, okay, who exactly is this think tank? Who sponsored it? Did this think tank get sponsored by the folks over at Time Warner or someone else? You know, you have to look deeper at these stories that on this, you know, these doomsday predictions that we're going to, you know, use up all of the internet bandwidth. It's just not going to happen because we're not, people would scream bloody murder. And, you know, companies are going to have to move very, very quickly to make sure that they satisfy our appetite here. If they don't, it's going to get really brutal really quick. So what do you guys think? Do you think that we're going to, you know, through our consumption, our massive consumption of the thing called the internet, that we are going to essentially bring it to a crawl by all of us surfing so much and downloading so much video and playing so many online games that the network isn't going to be able to handle it? Well, I've got a suggestion for those in the broadband internet business. You know, why don't you guys fix the spam issue? You know, that should get you another 5 years of life on the internet altogether. If you can reduce the millions upon millions, maybe even billions of spams being sent every day, don't you think that would, you know, give you a little more headroom and be able to grow your, you know, to grow? I just can't, I don't get it. I really don't get it that they haven't been able to squelch this spam problem, considering the amount of bandwidth that it uses. Sure, you know, we're all sitting here, you know, we're all surfing the internet, and many of you that are listening to the show are probably at work doing different things. But you think about all the spam that comes in to thousands and hundreds and millions and billions of email accounts. Just, you know, just think about that. And that's mind-boggling, the amount of traffic being, because, you know, essentially people that are not online, they're essentially using bandwidth, even though they're not online, because of the simple fact that their email clients are still updating all the time with all this spam. So only time will tell. What do you guys think? Send me an email, voicemail. Let me know what your opinions are. Do you remember about 6 months ago, I said, hey, I was going to buy one of those T-Mobile Cameo connected digital photo frames. But as I got to looking at it and the price of it wasn't too bad, but the monthly $9.99 charge really kind of was like, ugh, I really don't want this. But news on the street, the T-Mobile Cameo is now $39.99, and It costs $1.99 to have it on the net. There's no contract obligation. You can cancel at any time. It's this might be worth it, folks. And you know, basically, you get a telephone number. People can SMS message or photos to you. I may have to do this now. $1.99, I can afford that on a monthly basis, and you know, keep the photo frame here on a on the shelf. And as I'm doing the show, you guys basically can see what people are sending into the podcast or have stuff cycle through that's been sent in. So I think I may go ahead and punch the button on this. I'll keep you advised, and then I'll give you updates on how you'll be able to publish to that thing once I get it online. So I'll make sure that it's going to do what I want it to do, which I'm pretty sure it will. And anyway, that was an information that came out on ZDNet. And of course, I have the link to that article and all the rest of the articles tonight in the show notes. Motorola, well, they posted their earnings statements. They posted $291 million loss in the first quarter. They said that mobile sales fell 45%, and Android handsets have been confirmed for quarter four through Motorola. So, you know, once again, the iPhone phenomena continues to destroy Nokia, Motorola, and other mobile handset makers. 45% decrease in sales, $291 million loss. It's just amazing. It really is. Hey, over on GearDiary.com, and this is not a site that I've visited before, so I subscribed to it tonight after finding this article. But Amazon, those of you that have Kindles, they're going to start charging by the megabyte for delivering personal documents to your Kindle, and they've added support for DOCX format files and RTF files. So those of you using OpenOffice, you'll be able to send doc files to your Kindle. So this is a little bit of a change here to their charges. And instead of paying 10 cents per document, you're charged 15 cents per megabyte to have stuff sent to your Kindle. So that's not too bad. You can send a lot of docs. There's a lot of documents you can send, for a meg worth of data. But where you're going to get in trouble is in sending PDFs to it. So I've never done that. I've never sent a document to my Kindle. I've just bought books and read them on them. So maybe I'm underutilizing the power of my Gen 1 Kindle. All right, NVIDIA's GeForce GTX 285 is coming to Macs in June. This is a major thing, folks, because you know, if you are a Mac desktop owner and you are looking for some options, some video options that would really kind of put you into a gaming mode, there hasn't been that many options for Mac users, but this GeForce GTX 285 is coming. There's no pricing yet. Expect it to be pretty expensive. Now, those of you that are Mac users out there, can you tell me, how is this video card going to compare to some of the video cards that they currently sell with the Mac and with the Mac Pro, not the MacBook Pro, the Mac Pro? Well, how does this compare? Is this a good video card for, you know, not just gaming, but other types of options? I don't know. I'm not a gamer, see? And so, you know, I kind of was going with, when I was thinking, I've been talking about buying a Mac Pro. Of course, it's not in the budget yet, but, they've updated that machine. And now with these new video cards coming out, I just wonder what the impact of this is for machines that you would use for video editing and so forth. So we can expect a couple things here, that this is going to be a killer card, and also at the same point, it's going to be very expensive. Now, I caught an article today on Gizmodo talk, and it was referencing GoDaddy, and I was really kind of taken aback, and I'm actually going to send an email off, because I haven't had time to do it yet. I'm going to send an email off to my contact there, and I think as I was looking at a couple other articles, I think this was a tongue-in-cheek thing that GoDaddy did. You know, I've got some .tv names. I have mylifeonline.tv. That's a domain that I own. Of course, we've bought the .tv domains for Geek News Central and a variety of other sites. And they're not cheap. They're really not there. But they're a domain that obviously has some value there. And but GoDaddy, Gizmodo's title of this article says, GoDaddy telling us not to buy .tv domains because Tuvalu, I guess that's T-U-V-A-L-U, is sinking. Now, we all know that Tuvalu, probably pronouncing this wrong, is the country that has the .tv domain name. And as I was looking at some screenshots that people had, you know, it says, hey, it says, why choose .tv? Number one, note, the island of Tuvalu is sinking. Number two, recommend alternatives are .com, .net, and .info. And I'm thinking to myself, so many people own .tvs, there's no way that I can. Even though, let's say Tuvalu sunk into the ocean tomorrow, there'd be no way that the .tv domain would go away. And I think that's just a little tongue-in-cheek by the folks over at GoDaddy, and then all these folks at Domain Wire and Boing Boing and a variety of sites all jumped on the bandwagon here. So, you know, this is not April Fool's Day. So I'm kind of laughing here that I don't think this – I think there's nothing to this. Now, maybe they were trying to do a I saw another article today that was a kind of an April Fool's type of joke. Is this the new norm now? People do April Fool's jokes on April 1st and then on April 30th as well? Is that kind of a – is that something new? I don't know. So anyway, we're going to move on, and I just kind of find out what the story is with this. But I'm sure it's just a ha-ha type of thing, tongue-in-cheek thing that they're saying. All right, the folks out of Microsoft – really have made a pretty amazing announcement. If you downloaded the release candidate of Windows 7, even after, and we've got a projected release date for Windows 7, we'll cover that here in a little bit, but if you download the release candidate of Windows 7 and you're running it now and you want to just continue to play with it for a while, you're going to be able to get updates for it until July of 2010 before the OS drops dead. So I thought that was pretty cool that they're going to allow people to get updates for the copies. So this is interesting. Now, the idea of providing – now, this goes on a little further in that they're talking about pirated copies as well. They're saying that pirated copies of Windows 7 will be provided with security updates, update roll-ups, and even service pack as well. And they say that keeping machine up to date is one of the first steps in helping. This is a quote off of someone from the Windows Client Enterprise Security section said, keeping Windows up to date is one of the first steps in helping ensure that they remain reliable, compatible, and safe from threats when they're online. Some of the most famous instances of malicious software infections. So they go on to talk about basically infections, but they want to, no matter what, they're committed to make sure that security updates are available to all, irregardless. And I thought that was kind of an interesting take on Microsoft's part. And, you know, I think they've figured out that there is nothing they can do to stop the software from being pirated. So in order to make the internet more safe, they might as well just go ahead and provide the updates. Now, we'll see if this actually proves to be the case. But an interesting spin for sure. Okay, there's a good article talking about green tech upgrades that can boost your home value and reduce bills. And this is a pretty good one here. Talks about wind power, talks about solar, talks about hot water heater monitoring, different types of meter stuff, gray water systems, efficient irrigation systems. I need one of those because I'm out here watering the lawn tonight. Forget to leave. I left the sprinkler on about 30 minutes longer than I wanted to. So I need one of these efficient irrigation systems. I actually don't have a irrigation. I have to move my sprinkler head around. I have the old fashioned kind, you know, the one that. Psh, 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 psh. So I don't have a buried system, but it's probably a good idea for me just to put a timer. That's probably will suffice on my water faucet outside, so that I don't do something dumb again and leave the thing on longer than I should. But some good articles. I have this link up to this article over on Gizmodo as well. Got a lot of stuff on Gizmodo today. I think it was one of the reasons why is sometimes it depends on how I load my RSS feeds, which site gets my attention first, and then I pull a bunch of articles. And, of course, there's always subsets of sites that talk about the same thing. So three or four here tonight from Gizmodo. How about this one? Laptop burglar caught after owner mocks him remotely. Newsweek's Joshua Alston got his laptop stolen while he was in the shower. So he had installed a application called Log Me In on the app on the PC, which allowed him to securely and remotely log into his notebook. So he did some cool things here. He waited till the thief got online, and then he started getting information that would allow him to pinpoint the location of the guy that stole the laptop. And he turned the camera on, took a picture of the guy, and then just as he was getting ready to drop the bomb on this dude for stealing the actually having the police barge in, he changed the guy's desktop picture and basically had it on there, you know, his picture that he had updated on the screen, basically said, hey, you're on Kenny camera, buddy. So I thought this was pretty cool. And it was done by he was able to access it via a remote login program. So, you know, you're gonna steal a PC, then sit down in front of it. You just don't know these days. The camera may be turned on and take a picture of you, and guess what? Cuffed and stuffed on the way to the Hooskow, into the jail. Now, I'm not using FeedDemon anymore on a regular basis because I've switched completely to Google Reader. And I've essentially, I'm using tabs within Firefox now. But one thing that FeedDemon did release in 3.0 Beta 4 is they've got a Google Reader synchronization tool now. So if you are still using FeedDemon, you now can synchronize your Google Reader subscriptions. And basically, my Google Reader subscriptions were the same ones I had in FeedDemon. So that really doesn't make a lot of sense, but the update's available via the FeedDemon beta site. You can check out Nick Bradbury's site over at nick.typepad.com and find a link to that where you can go grab that that download. All right, over on GigaOhm, he's got a good article about DOCSIS 3.0 coming to a cable company near you. Talks about DOCSIS 3.0 deployment forecast for year-end 2009. And it's pretty amazing here what they've got planned. If you're a Comcast customer, 65% of you are going to have DOCSIS 3.0 by year end. Time Warner only 12%, Charter 25%, Cox Cable 57%, Cablevision, the company that's in Long Island, New York, who's offering the 100 megabits service, they're 100% deployed already. Bright House 25%, MediaCom 50%. Suddenlink 25%, RCN 15%. Some of these I've never heard of before. But overall, 45% of you will have, and on an average basis, from company to company, 45% of you, as compared to 13% of you at the year end of 2008, will have DOCSIS 3.0 in your home. Cannot come at a time too soon here in Hawaii, I'm going to tell you that. And sadly, they have not started rolling it out, so I'm sure we're going to get it last. I'm sure many of you, have killed your landline. Now, I still have a landline here, and the only reason I have a landline here is because I still do, like when we do the roundtable, I need to be able to bring in the audio stream. And that allows me to, via my phone bridge, and I can pipe it in real easy, record it real easy. It comes out really, really clean. I've got so much stuff going on during the roundtables that essentially I feel real uncomfortable trying to use the voice IP line at the same time to do that, for the simple fact that I'm pushing so much video. We're running a couple of streaming sessions. It just about taps me out here. for bandwidth, and then I'm sure all people would need to hear is a bad connection. So, you know, I'm unique. I have to keep my very basic service. I think I pay $14.95 for my landline. I have no long distance on it. It is basically new local calls, and that's it. And no features, none whatsoever. And I think it rings like once a month here. Everybody else is calling in on the voice IP line. But the landline business, we know, is dropping in a hurry. And if you look at the state of Texas, this is a telltale sign of what's happening. From June of 2000 to June of 2008, so that's 8 years, 12 million, let's see, the number of access lines in millions. And does it say 12,000? Oh, it says 12 million were basically connected in June of 2000. In June of 2008, that number had dropped to 8.5 million people, as compared to going to back at June of 2000 for those of you that are on either have switched to voice IP or wireless or a CLEC, which would be like just an alternative cable provider. Anyway, that number has climbed to about 2.3 million people that have the opposite spectrum. So I'm sure it's not a comma. Yeah, it's 12 million. It seems like it would be more than that. But anyway, the numbers have, you know, you've got this downward spiral of people on copper and this upward spiral almost equally people on wireless and then using voice IP stuff. Just goes to show you people are making a massive switch there. So, you know, what is the, you know, what do you guys think? Do you think in another 10 years that there'll be very few people that will still be on, you know, a wired connection? Will it be just, you know, will these numbers completely swap where people will be there on voice IP or they'll be using a cable company or just using their regular wireless phone? Will it the numbers be 12 million people on those services and less than 2 million people on copper? You know, I think that's where it's headed. Although the lines are not perfectly merged, I think over time that's where we could head. All right, on Twitter today. And I know you guys probably didn't want to hear this, but Twitter search for everyone. And I was playing around with it a little bit. Works pretty good. Saves me from going over to the actual search.twitter.com. And let me do a little test here. I'm actually going to see how it works. Yeah, it works real good. Although it's not showing a lot of results. And the search, search site at search.twitter.com, they actually give you quite a few more results. And I think what they do is they track up to 1,000 on each search result. So I wish that would be more because you can't go very deep. But at some point, maybe the good folks over at Google will dig a little deeper into Twitter commentary, and we'll be able to kind of separate that a little bit. Now you can do it through customized searches, but it'd be nice if they had a little more productive search utility on there. And I guess we're going to start here. All right, Acer. Now, Acer has confirmed or leaked or said by mistake that Windows 7 is going to be available on 23 October. So I guess if Microsoft was trying to keep the the lid on the launch date, 23 October makes sense because the all-inclusive holiday shopping period, right? We don't start our holiday shopping now on Thanksgiving. We start about a month early. That's when all the Christmas stuff goes up, right? So 23 October makes about sense. So 23 October, you will be able to buy PCs with Windows 7 preloaded. How many of you are in the Michigan, Ohio, Indiana area? Did you guys know PodCamp Ohio is coming? And you guys need to pay attention here because on June 20th, 2009, PodCamp Ohio 2 is going to be once again happening. And my mom from the Sherry cast is going to be down there. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not. We'll have to see how my schedule works out. But that podcamp, of course, is coordinated by Angelo Mandato. He's one of the one of our team members at Raw Voice. So if you're within striking distance of Podcamp Ohio, I know they've got a great program lined up for everyone. So you definitely want to put that on your calendar and go. Again, June 20th, 2009. You can find information out at podcampohio.com. All right, I'll be the first to admit, I have not been over to Hulu and watched any videos. And I know many of you are using Hulu. I just haven't been over there. It's one of those, just don't have the time. You know, I'm lucky if I get a chance once a week to sit down with a remote control in my hand and do things that men do well and just control that remote control and flip through the channels. But Hulu is locking up streaming video market really one deal at a time here. They signed Disney. They've signed ABC. Of course, Fox was already over there. NBC was over there. And so, you know, they are positioned really good to be the place to go for streaming video. So, you know, how many of you are going over to Hulu on a daily basis and checking out content? You know, the networks have kind of figured it out. They're basically taking care of their own and controlling the where their media is at. So I guess they can go over there and stay over there on Hulu. And, you know, all the major media stuff can go to Hulu. Then all the new media stuff can be on Blueberry. All the new media stuff can be at YouTube. They don't need to have all that old media stuff over on any of those other websites. So we'll see what happens. But how many of you are using Hulu? And, you know, are you using it in lieu of a DVR? Are you using it in lieu of canceling some of your cable services and just basically using the internet to get to it? How many of you are still listening to terrestrial radio? I will admit, from time to time, I listen to a little AM talk radio. That's basically when I either forgot to take my iPod with me. You know, I have to listen to a lot of podcasts just to kind of keep track of what people are doing, cool new things, get different ideas. But terrestrial radio has really not changed. And there was a study done from 2005 to 2008. And a company called, see who actually did this, the Future of Music Coalition, FMC, provided this study that basically says that radio stations have not changed. They are still playing major label content. They're playing the same songs at a higher play rate. You know, the FCC and some state attorney generals and so forth have sought to, you know, make sure that payola scams don't happen. And the industry said they would do better to play a wider variety of music, but they just don't know how to, you know, how to do anything different. They chalk this up, FMC chalks this up to the notion that major labels' longstanding relationships with radio and their promise to devote additional resources to a release, tour, support, retail placement, ad sponsorships as an incentive for radio play is the reason why radio stations have been very resistive to change. And they're finding, too, that the indie stations are playing a lot of music that's old. A lot of the music that's being played on the independents is you know, like 2000 and earlier having been recorded. So we're not hearing a lot of new artists as we would expect or would have expected the radio stations to do when they started having HD. You know, that was the thing. They would say, okay, we can have a regular content on the main channel, one up, one down. We're going to have independent content on one. They haven't done that. They've just, you know, repeated the same type of stuff that they've done on their HD channels as they've done on their, you know, the regular FM channels. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, they're in the same crux or same rut of the road and keep driving through that same ditch every week and aren't changing their ways. So that's one of the reasons why new media is continuing to grow, and we're seeing great growth across a lot of the shows that we're tracking over at Raw Voice. Good growth rates this year. And people are listening. They really are. All right, over at Ars Technica, you know, I've always prided myself in getting very little sleep and being able to operate at a very high function level. Since I've gotten a little older, you know, I used to operate on 4 hours sleep pretty consistently, but I've gotten a little older now. I'm probably at about the five-hour mark. 5 hours is about the magic number for me for sleep. Any more than that's too much. Any less than that, and then I can get cranky real quick. But I'm a night owl. I love working at night. I get a lot of productivity, a lot of things done. You know, I'm obviously being real productive tonight, right? Doing the show late at night, being very clear, having clarity. Oh, gosh. Anyway, they did a study on early birds and night owls, and they did MRIs of their brains to look at those folks, so they're early risers and those that are night owls, and to basically see if there was a physical difference between the two. And not surprisingly, each person that was put underneath this test, who were given two different rounds of MRIs, basically kind of showed the same characteristics. Older to, you know, my son just waved at me. He's going to bed. Good night, Ray. So the older people that stay up later, brain activity is almost the same as those that were early birds. Certain parts of the brain were lighting up and showing different types of activity that was associated with essentially being very, you know, very productive. So I thought this was pretty cool. I have this linked up. You guys can read about it. And I'll quit babbling here and move on to something that I should talk about instead. All right. Over on the BBC, and this is a personal comment by an Air Force officer. And this blows me away that this guy would say that, say this, even if he's saying it without, you know, as an individual. Because, you know, when you're in the military, you're in the military. And what you say, you know, is, you know, if you're in the military, what you say is associated with the military. You have to be very, very careful. When I was active duty, you know, there was always this golden rule. You don't talk to reporters. If they ask you questions, you refer them to the public relations officer. Because if you open your mouth and you said something, it could turn out to be very, very bad for you in the way of career progression, getting in trouble for saying something you shouldn't, saying something confidential. You know, you just don't talk to the press. But this Air Force officer has told the BBC that the United States should create an offensive botnet to target any forces that launches a cyber attack against it. And this guy he was on Radio 4 and said that the U.S. was currently in defensive mode on cyber warfare and that needed to change. Again, he said he stressed he was speaking in a personal capacity. You know, if he's speaking in a personal capacity, he should have never have used his rank. This just blows me away. I'm sure he's going to have to speak to his boss when this is over. But I don't know. It's one of those things. Very interesting that he would say this, and that he thinks that the United States should have botnets to prepare for any type of an attack of its own, a cyber attack, and go on the offensive. So I don't know what I think about this. I think I'll withhold my opinion, let you guys chime in on this. But I'll have the link up in the show notes. Okay, just let me know what you think on his comments there. Not necessarily in his capacity, but in lieu of what the article says, and what do you think we should have a botnet? All right, more information on AT&T and the iPhone dilemma, and this is an article over on Business Week. Boy, I tell you, the business mags are having a big heyday with the possibility that Apple may bring on Sprint and Verizon to essentially, you know, be able to market the iPhone, and it talks about AT&T's you know, real challenge here, that essentially if Apple does this, then, you know, what will happen is it whack-a-mole away at Apple's margins there. So I'm just, this is my prediction here. I'm predicting that AT&T is going to make it so lucrative for Apple. They're going to put so much money in Apple's pockets and make their eyes bulge so big that that this exclusive deal will continue. I hope it doesn't, because I'd like to see Verizon Wireless be able to pick up the iPhone. The challenge is that Verizon and Sprint are both using CDMA, and they feel that CDMA, of course, is going to be phased out by 2012. So if you, let's say it's 2010, you buy an iPhone with CDMA technology, you know, let's say 2 years from then, when the, you know, when CDMA technology is being rolled out in LTE is going to be introduced, then what do you have? You have a dead phone? You have to go buy a phone after 2 years? They're going to have to come up with some sort of program, and that will be expensive. Of course, you know, then it's engineering and everything else that goes along with it. So let me move on. This one here is more of a human interest story, but I think you you geeks out there would get a – how many of you went to YouTube to find out how to do something? I think I went to YouTube, or actually went searching on the internet for a – instructional on how to repair something once a while back, and I actually got drove over to YouTube, and it was pretty good instructions on the particular thing I was looking for. But a gentleman who was getting ready to, his, him and his wife were expecting, and they already had three children at home, it looks like, and he was, him and his wife were planning on having a home birth, and they were going to have a midwife come in, and so his wife said, "Hey, honey, you know, I think I'm feeling, you know, a little bit of maybe some contractions or something going on." And, you know, so he, you know, he calls the midwife and says, "Hey, we're booked up right now. We're having a bunch of babies and we can't send anybody over. So, you know, let us know how it goes." And so he gets on YouTube to figure out how to deliver a baby. And I guess he watched some pretty explicit videos on YouTube on how to deliver a child, and about 4 hours later, his wife went into heavy labor, and she's probably just like my wife. When heavy labor strikes, you've got just about 30 minutes to get to the hospital. If you aren't there already, that baby's coming no matter what. And so anyway, his wife was like, "Hey, it's time. You're going to have to deliver this kid." And he used his YouTube video watching experience to deliver the child as the kids watched on. So congratulations to this gentleman for delivering his baby, and at the same time using YouTube to get a little bit of instruction on the procedure beforehand. You'd think, as if this guy's got four kids, he would have a clue at that point, or the fourth one on the way. Okay, shuttle program. We've been talking about whether or not the shuttle is going to be extended for another mission or not, but NASA has basically started to pull the plug on jobs. Shuttle layoffs have begun. 160 employees are being laid off today, and this was, I guess, expected. They're mostly in manufacturing. I guess they've got everything made that they need for the next, you know, the remaining 8 or 9 flights here. So 160 people are going to be on the street. So they're saying that with the shuttle program currently employing about 1,600 civil servants and 13,800 contractors, the folks, the 160 contract workers are going to get their pink slips tomorrow and are actually going to be on a laid off. So a lot of contractors are going to be looking for jobs here. So if you are you know, looking for some engineers and those types, you know, this might be a time to pick up a few people from NASA's contracts. Okay, let me move on here. How many of you have been on Gmail today and wished you could have searched a Google search right from Gmail? Well, you can do that now. There's a plugin available via Gmail Labs that allows you to Google search in Gmail. And I, you know, I kind of thought about this. I'm like, you know, I use Thunderbird with IMAP to just get my email. I don't log into Gmail very often. And but those of you that do, what you can do now is a separate little search box kind of pops up as an overlay, gives you the information that you're looking for, and then you can continue on. So It's pretty cool. People are pretty excited about it, getting some positive reviews. Let me look at the time here. Yeah, we're doing okay on time. Hey, you know, we've raved and raved and raved about the Sony OLED displays. Well, you know, they're expensive. They're beautiful. Oh, man. You know, the first time I saw one, my heart went pitter-patter. They've got, you know, the screens are so bright, and the images on them are almost brighter than real life. I mean, it's just dazzling. And if you haven't got a chance to look at a Sony OLED display, please, please, please take time to find a store that has some and look at them before they're too late, because Sony's giving up on OLED TVs. Panasonic and Samsung are going to continue on, but Sony has basically said that it's just too expensive. People aren't buying them. You know, the 11-inch XEL1 screen still costs $2,500, you know. So it's not something that, you know, you're just going to go out and buy. You know, if you're an executive somewhere and have a big salary and can afford it and have bragging rights, you can have one of those babies. But, you know, $2,500, it just, that's a bitter pill to you know, that's a lot of money for a little mini 11-inch monitor. As beautiful it is, I can look at one in a showroom, but Sony's getting out of that business here. Hey, Twitter had their admins section hacked. And apparently it was done via someone hacking a employee's Yahoo account, email account, got into it and was able to gain access and accessed President Obama's account, Britney Spears' account, and a number of other celebrities, and did some snooping around and posted a bunch of pictures of it up on the internet. So if you ever want to see the inner working of Twitter and how their admin section is, nothing too fancy of the stuff I saw. I was looking at kind of some of the admin pages. Really not a lot to the back end of that thing. All right. A little information out of Orlando. And this is a little blogging information here. The Orlando police chief threatens critical bloggers, saying truth isn't a defense. Okay, so this blogger is blogging underneath the sheriff's name. The sheriff's name is Val Demings. He registered valdemings.com, and he's been blogging about Val's exploits, about her losing her gun, having it stolen out of her car, and a variety of different things that are happening. And while there is no defamation at this point, at least being accused, there is this, you know, basically this gal is being blogged about by this blogger. But yet this sheriff says, or this police chief says, that truth isn't a defense. If you can't write the truth, I'm sorry. That person needs to go back and read the, you know, the U.S. Constitution and all of the amendments that we have, our Bill of Rights, our rights of free speech, you know, come on, right to bear arms, all that stuff. Need to go through and read that, because truth, you know, absolutely is a defense. You know, the truth will set you free. So I don't know where this police chief's coming from, but maybe needs to study a little bit of law. Now, on the Swedish front, more Swedish ISPs in Sweden are deciding to keep no logs to protect their users. And this is has a lot to do with a Swedish law called the IPRED that requires ISPs to hand over log files if a user is accused of copyright infringement. So a lot of ISPs are basically saying, hey, we're not doing it. We're not keeping logs, and you can request all you want, but we're not going to keep the data. So I'm sure a lot of, you know, how come American companies don't have the guts to do this kind of stuff? I guess it's the mindset that's over there that lets them get away with this. We'll see what happens, though. We'll see if the Swedish government comes after these companies to try to force them to do it. All right. You guys remember, I don't even know the name of the movie. All I know is Arnold Schwarzenegger, the now governor of California, was in a movie a number of years ago where he was basically they'd frozen his body. And he was like 100 years later or something like that. They brought him out of deep freeze, and he was put in police uniform and given a vehicle to drive, or it drove him around. And you know, every time he said a curse word or something like that, he was issued a ticket. Well, I guess our congressional representatives want to track and tax our driving habits. Now, this has been talked about for a while, where various state politicians have pushed the idea of a mileage tax or a speeding tax or, you know, everything else that's going on. But the current administration says they're going to oppose this idea, but it's still not stopping Representative James Oberstar to put together legislation and request some pilot programs that would basically track, tax our driving habits. This would involve putting a GPS in our cars that would basically call home to mama anytime we went over the posted speeding speed limit, probably issue us a ticket. We would probably be given a higher price on a gas tax if we stepped on the gas a little bit too heavy from time to time. What do you think? What do you think about the government riding around in your vehicle with you? You know the lawyers are riding around in your vehicle right now with you, right? That's already happening with the computers in the cars. You get in an automobile accident these days, and it's something that you have gross negligence in, and you get taken to court, or maybe not even court. You get sued. You know they can pull your chip in your car, and they can go through and find out exactly what you were doing. They know how fast you were going, you know, up to a certain amount of time before the accident. They can look at braking. They can look at acceleration. Look at a lot of stuff. And, yes, that data can and will be used against you in a court of law. So remember that when you're out there doing things, especially, you know, remind your kids this. You know, I know all of you that are listening to the show are very good drivers, and none of you exceed the speed limit. So remind your kids, hey, by the way, you know, I can pull this chip out of the car, and we can go through and see what you've been doing. All right, AT&T. AT&T has quietly revised its wireless plans. And they essentially have said, now they've done it twice. The first update was one where they said, by the way, if you are a Slingbox user, and they didn't say Slingbox, but they indicated services like that, you cannot stream TV to your phone. In other words, your iPhone. But if you want to stream video from us, from our site, it's okay. So they changed this. So sometime in the past 24 hours, AT&T has changed the term of service again to say that you can stream video from any of their sites. But goodness gracious, if you use Slingbox or any other mobile service to stream television to your phone, that's against the rules and against the term of service, and they can shut you off. So, you know, it's all about keeping control, folks. All right, over on, I think I'll close out tonight's show with an article from Popular Mechanics. And ladies, we're still a little ways away from Father's Day. Mother's Day is right around the corner here, right? Matter of fact, Anna reminded me tonight at the dinner table. She said, Dad, you know, when Mom gets home, it's going to be Mother's Day, so don't you forget. And I'm like, don't you forget. And I said, my mom is in Michigan. I'm not going to forget. She goes, well, Dad, you know what I mean. We have to go shopping for Mother's Day. I'm like, okay. So, well, ladies, if you're looking for some tools for your husband, and men, if you're looking for some tools that you probably should own, 50 tools everyone should own with tips. And it goes into just about every type of tool that you should have in your toolbox. And this is a good review over on Popular Mechanics. Thought I'd share that with you. Ladies, we always love tools when it comes to Father's Day. Tools, you know, especially, and the only thing better than tools, especially for this audience, is geeky stuff, you know, the geek stuff. All right. Well, that is the that's the end of regular content here tonight. I do have some voicemails to go into. Let me get email loaded up. And while I'm doing that, of course, you can always send me email at geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. I should have had this queued up, and I didn't, like a knucklehead here. So let me we don't have a lot, I don't think, tonight. Or is it downloading? Let me see here. Wait for it. Oh, yeah, it's downloading a few. Let me go back to the show on... Yeah, I already talked about that. I think I've got that one covered. Not a lot of stuff here. Got a few. Got an email from Mike James. He says, "Hey, Todd, as a longtime listener to your show and a rather outspoken podcast host myself, I spent quite a bit of time thinking about the whole net neutrality broadband caps and such. In the end, I have come to the decision that I believe that meter broadband in and of itself is not an evil or bad thing. Living in the fantasy line that I should be able to use 200 gigs a week for the same cost as my mother, who likely wouldn't use that much in a year, is just not reasonable position to take. After looking at the problem for a while, it has become clear to me that most people object to metered internet because they know that within the current monopolistic structure that is the broadband landscape today, there is no incentive for most companies to provide a reasonable service for a reasonable cost. 500 gigs of traffic a month should cost $60 or so and not $150. And most of us realize that we cannot allow metered broadband bandwidth to exist with the current broadband monopolies without disastrous effect. These companies need to wake up and quickly. I am not the property of Time Warner or Cox or Verizon, because if they continue down this path of anti-competitive pricing, government regulation is a sure thing. And while they may seem like a benefit for now, in the end, more government regulation is always something to be very cautious of." And he says, "P.S., bring the iPhone to Verizon." I agree. Let me look here. I'm going to make sure I'm actually posting from the right date. Yeah, I'm reading from the right date. Got an email from Trucker Tom, and he sent me some links to Clear Channel cutting 590 radio jobs. So that's a huge number here. 592, that's a 2.7% of the company's total workforce that they've cut. So maybe a little tight over there in major media too. Along with that was an email on media companies being encouraged to use it or merge it. Many media brains will fade as liquidity and deals begin flowing in the economic recovery. So that means some powerful standalone brands from CBS, AOL, Twitter, Netflix, and TiVo could become critical cogs in rebuilding larger media players for a digital future. So it's basically talking about companies I don't know if I agree 100% with this article, but I think we're going to see a lot of M&A stuff, but I don't think it means death, death and circumstances for companies that don't merge or get bought out. And of course, I got an email today as well from the internet bandwidth running out. Kind of short on email. No voicemails, so I guess you guys didn't love me on the last show. That's okay. And it kind of goes like this once in a while. So we're at a wrap. I think that's the fewest emails that I have got in like months. But that 4 or 5 emails is okay. Can't complain. And I guess I just did, didn't I? But as always, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. For those of you that are on Ustream, if you want to hang out, you can hang out with me here for a little bit. I'll keep the stream up. Someone was asking me to show them the other view that I showed the other night. This is the other view that it's not a great view, but shows the auto recording and shows the TriCaster in action. So someone was asking about that view, so thought I would put that up for you. But anyway, that's it. We'll be back with you on Tuesday, of course. Stay subscribed. Tell your friends about the show. Thank you to our sponsors. And, of course, we appreciate those of you that are out there supporting our sponsors as well with purchases and trials. That always helps out here and keeps our numbers up. And, as always, y'all take care. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. And look forward to bringing you the next show on Tuesday. Until then, take care and aloha.